Okay. We're on page Resh Chav Vav in the Sefer Bovavi Mishkan Evne, explaining the Mesil Shasharm. We're in a little tricky part over here that's dealing with the statement of the Mesil Shasharm that says that according to the level the person conquers his Yetzirah and his desires, and he distances himself from things that are trying to distance himself from the good, and to the degree that he tries to cling to that good, so he will achieve it. He will reach it and will be happy in that good. And then he's trying to explain what is this idea of this achievement and reaching it. And he got into a whole discussion of people who, even if God gives them the ability to tell the future, that really isn't of a lot of spiritual value. And just because a guy can tell, you know, where you came from in a past life regression, or things like that, really isn't anything that is much useful information. So he continues, and like, how are you any better off knowing certain ideas than others? So around the second paragraph on page Resh Chav Vav, and continuing this theme, Almoran Hagon Rev Eliezer Dessler Zatzal Mesuper Shenasa Ba'Anglia Merchaki Mod Goyim. Reb Dessler tells a story of how he was once traveling in England, going to distant places. He went to one place, reached another place, he left one place, went to another place. Then when he was finished with the trip, he reflected and said, what new information did I gain from this trip? He says, well, Yischadishlo ech niras tachanas ha-rakevas v'rplonis. The new information was I knew what a certain train station looked like. Be'elu kavim tzrichon so, which directions you have to travel. Hechen yordan, where do you go down? Echon, where do you go up? Shur shlemish edis yischadishlo. A whole row, a whole list of new information he gleaned from this trip. Then he thought, what did I gain from all that information? How am I a better Jew knowing how a certain train station looks like? And where do you get off at the train station? Where do you get on at a train station? Klum. He didn't gain anything of a spiritual nature. What's the point he's trying to make? Not every piece of information are we interested that we need to know. We don't need to know all information. If someone's going to tell me the agricultural information about the country of Portugal, since I'm not a farmer, it's not going to interest me. Even though it's information, but it's got no bearings on my life. So this type of Ruach HaKodesh, a person knows what's in the future. What benefit, what pleasure is there of knowing what's going on in the future? If you read a little bit about the biographies of our rabbis, you see, many of the greats, that information was offered to them. And what did they do? They sent it away. They didn't want it. They didn't find any need for it. More than that, they saw it would be a damage to their souls. All kinds of stories of great rabbis. Vilna Gaon, the Malachim wanted to give him pieces of Torah. Wanted to give him, here's a gift. He said, I don't want it. I'll get it on my own. Find many stories like that. So, I gotta ask a more fundamental question. Why did God give certain people the ability they could tell the future? These psychics. Why did he give them that ability? Tzaddikim really could know the future. So he gives two interesting answers. Shtei sibus. Ha'achas, number one, kimosherinu la'el, shekol ha'dvarim ha'elam, him nishosam. Number one is that everything in this world is a test. Guess what? One of the tests for a person in this world is having Ruach HaKodesh. That itself is a test. From an external view, what's the test? The honor. Is he going to let it go to his head? But Pnimus, at an inner level, what's the test? He could believe he's reached a certain spiritual level and he may just be stick in that level. He may plateau in that level and not go any further. And let that little bit of knowledge fool him into thinking, ah, I've achieved everything there is in Dveikas Hashem. And he won't move any further. So there's the test. That's on the one hand. And see, that's what he's trying to, this whole point has been a side point, really. He's trying to say, this is not what we call Dveikas Hashem. This is not, the whole point, Losado says, ah, then you'll be able to achieve, you're going to achieve that good and enjoy that good. He says, you ain't going to achieve it. This isn't it. Even deeper. Hashem has given certain tzaddikim the ability to see the future as a little a sniff, a branch of another way how they can do chesed with others. How they can help the spiritually handicapped people of the world. The people who are, you know, not so mentally stable. Please tell me, will we have a child? I can't live if I don't know if I'm not going to have a child. Nebuch, they're so weak, they're so neurotic, they're on meds from all the neuroses. Okay, I'll do my chesed, I'll tell them they're going to have a kid. If they will, don't worry, stop worrying. Oh, the tzaddik says I don't have to worry more. Thank you so much. It's a simple chesed, that's all it is. For example, Hashem gives one fellow a lot of money. Why? Why do you have more money than you need? What do you need it for? Why not? To help other people. Just like if you have more money than you need, it's a waste unless you use it to help other people. A second fellow, they give him spiritual wisdom that he can help people with. He can teach Torah to other people. To third, he gave him the knowledge how to tell the future, to give it to let people know what's going to happen, so they won't be so nervous. Next page, Reish Chosayim. It's another branch of Gemilas Chesed that Hashem has put into the world. Nothing more than that at all. Shouldn't use it for anything more than what we just discussed. And if you're using it for any other goals, they're not useful needs. And even someone who is using it properly, but at the end of the day, is there a pleasure that you know the future? Simcha, is there a joy? You don't have any of that. What can we compare this to? Hayom anashim osim ultrasound. For Yonim Yia Ben Abbas. You make an ultrasound, you're going to know if your baby's a boy or a girl. Somebody just sent me an email. You know, they said, we know we're having a girl. So tell me, we've had a boy, now we know we're having a girl. So tell me, you know, what are the things they have to do when you're having a girl? Okay. So, same idea. So, why do you need to know what you're going to have? If you think about it, why do you need to know what you're going to have? Does it matter if you have a boy or girl? Is it going to change the fact that you know 6 months in advance what's going to be? Is it changed life? Well, we really wanted a boy. So now we're happy we're having a boy. And you wouldn't be happy 6 months from now if you're having a boy. So what did that happiness do for you? Like, does it really matter if you have a boy or a girl? Either one, as long as the baby's healthy. Right? Maybe from a practical way, maybe there's certain benefits. They prepare what to buy. Should it be blue? Should it be pink? There happen to be some, you know, it's on sale, certain outfits. Only the blues, not the pinks, whatever. But the fact that you know 7 months ahead of time what's going to happen, does that really make you a more enriched person? You're a more fortunate person? And if you find out 7 months later, won't you be the same level of happiness? So therefore, you know, this isn't it. And really, so he's very gently suggesting that you shouldn't be involved in that. If you have it, don't think you've reached the ultimate spirituality, and you shouldn't go to people. I'm not saying it's forbidden. It's not forbidden, but why bother? Why bother going? Oh, you always hear, oh, he's amazing. You hear people all the time. They're going, I saw this guy. He mamish knew where I came from. He knew my whole He described me perfectly. And therefore what? And therefore he told me to change my name, and therefore I'm going to change my name. Like, why? You know. And then 6 months later, when they say, you know, I changed my name, then they call Rabbi, do I have to keep the name that I changed? So I like to tell them, go ask the guy who gave you the name. You didn't ask me if you should change your name. After all, I only know you for 10 years, and the guy met you once. I mean, you can see people like that are so fragile. They're so weak. They're very unstable. But that's what happens. There's lots of unstable people around in this world. Tzaddik's suggesting you're not going to benefit from having that. Okay, so now that he kind of pushed away that idea of being what we're looking for in life, so let's come back to the topic after the three diamonds. So what did Lutzaro mean when he said those three words, so you shall achieve it and rejoice in it, so you will grasp it, you will catch it? What did he mean? But in what can the human being really achieve and be happy? Is it just a dimension of information alone that a person will receive? That's not a lot of benefit. Many times it's damaging. Even in the few times that it helps, simcha, but there's really no simcha. And if there is a simcha out of honor you have from this, we know that's a negative type of joy. Just knowing things doesn't bring people joy. What if a person gets Ruach Kodesh and he knows every telephone number in the phone book? Did you gain anything from that? I mean, yeah, okay, I guess if you need a number, you don't have to look it up. But does that make you a happier person? I'm not sure the next thing he's talking about. It must be something modern Israeli. Ulai kishitera takola b'makod 144 yochol azal noshim. I guess if there's a problem in a certain place, maybe we could help you. I guess he knows the number. I'm not exactly sure what makod 144 is. It must be. Oh, maybe 411. I don't know. I guess maybe if information broke down, then he could help people. That's very good. Very good. I guess it's 144 in Israel. Couldn't be 411. Unless it's a printer. Okay, so saying unless the information line is out, then maybe you can help people. What does really help him? You know your phone number. Nothing. So now let's get back to what it is. So he's saying, Yasigeo v'yismachbo. Lutzaro says he will reach it and he'll be happy with it. Alright, remember the context. It's the degree that you congregate Tahara and you distance yourself from the ultimate good, but you make efforts to achieve the ultimate good, then you will achieve it and be happy with it. So what is this? So he says, "Hu kasher ha'adam mischaber lemakor panimi ruchani aloki b'tochol." This is the answer, when you connect to your inner self, your spiritual self, the godly part that is inside of you. That's what you're looking to achieve. To find that godly part that's inside you. Nisponein ma nikra hasaga. Now we gotta reflect on the word in the finer terms. What's the word hasaga mean? Usually in Hebrew it means to reach, to catch up to something like that. To be masig, to understand. So what does it mean in this context here? So he explains. Let's say you're running after your friend. Then you finally catch him. You get to him. Glomer, who he gave up, he reached him. Hasaga. So the word hasaga perusha means sheyeshna, or that there is a light. A person is far from that light. He tries to move to advance himself until he reaches it. Yasigeo, so when you say the word Yasigeo, Klomer, it means, who he gave, oh, sir, he reached that light. He reached it. So the Pasuk says, Or Tzadikim Yismach. He will rejoice in the light of the Tzadikim. Kevishinir Lakamas, we'll see later on. Maybe I'm a Silsa Sharm. Sheishnam Or Ein Sof. Sheishnam Chelke Horas Hayosim Tachtonim. he says, later on, Lutzav explains that there is this never-ending light, and there are parts to that light that are on a lower level. When a person connects to that light, that spiritual connection to Hashem, that gives him a simcha. As it says in the Megillah, to the Jews, there was light and there was joy. So when there's light, there's joy. Next page. So from the light came the joy. So you gotta reach the light. If the light's next door, but that's not the light inside the person. It's outside of him. Again, a person knows what's going to be in the future. There's no pleasure in that. When a person connects himself to that which is within himself, that is where you maintain that pleasure. So we're talking about that spiritual godliness that is within the person when he reaches that spot, that light. That is the pleasure that he has. But even for this itself, there's many levels of saying he reached it. Then there's going to be different levels of the joy that you have. So what is that inner achievement that he's trying to reach? So there's many levels a person can reach. What is the deepest level that you want to achieve, that you could achieve? That's sensing, mamish sensing, the reality of Hashem inside of your heart. Sensing the Rabbeinu Shalom inside of you. B'derech l'sham, on the way to that spot, who masik od nekuda shel taras alev, he achieves further points of purity of heart. And from that he wants to do more kindness. He loves other people more. He does more mitzvahs with simcha. He doesn't explain why that's so, but he's saying that's on the way to that path, you develop a purity of heart, and because you have a purity of heart, you know, you want to do chesed, you love others, etc., etc. All these points are true. It's certainly not the same categories as we said earlier about a guy knowing the future. That's really no pleasure at all. But if you're able to love other people, that's a pleasure. These levels is already something. When it's on the way to that ultimate level of experiencing the godliness inside of you, you're going to develop a purity of heart, which will give you a desire to want to do chesed, to love others, to do mitzvahs with more simcha. So those are real things, even though they're on the way, but those are real things. Any love to do kindness that comes from an inner love certainly is a deep point. But still, that's not the goal. That's only the goal, the means, that will bring a person to recognize Hashem totally in his heart. A love of a Jew and a love of Torah will certainly bring a person to clear recognition of the reality of Hashem. So now, let's come back to that clause of the Lutzado. That clause of you will achieve it and be happy in it. You've got to be very, very careful. Why? If a person would reach it, and he's not happy, yesh no pachas daga, there may be less worries. Kimena sameach yirtzel lahasik halo, because if he's not happy, he wants more. Avol kesher adam masim said, well, what if you reach it and you're happy? Shuvah inena rotza kokach roitzel lahamshik halo b'avod, then he doesn't want to go any further. What he's saying is, he says you have to be careful very much when you reach this, because we're afraid you may reach a sub-level, and therefore you'll be tempted not to go further, because you will have thought you achieved everything. That's what he's saying over here. That's what he explains. Says Mechana, on the one hand, has simply the regardal. You're going to be very happy. So Shlemus means you did achieve a certain inner perfection. The person allows that spiritual perfection to become what he feels is total perfection. That person now is stuck. He won't go any further. That's the point he's saying. You, on this road to spirituality, you will get to a point where you're going to certainly feel certain closeness to Hashem. But you've got to realize, don't be satisfied with that, because then you're not going to go any further. Goshem Rav Nachman Breslov, Yesh Naharbe Tzadikim Shegil and Akudim Mesiyamas Hashem, that's true. Vizu Vare Enamayla. Rabbi Nachman said that there were certain Tzadikim who reached certain spiritual points, and then they stopped there, and that's not a virtue if you're going to stop there. You have to be an aspect of a Talmud Chacham. What's a Talmud Chacham? It's two words. Talmud, student. Chacham, wise. A wise man who's always a student. You're always learning. That's a Talmud Chacham. He's never happy with what he has. And we know, the Chazal say, Ein la menucha, lo bel mazev, lo bel. They have no rest in this world or the next world. Shenemar says, L'chu mechai l'chal, yeroy alokim v'siyom. You go from strength to strength. You have to move on, you get stronger and stronger. In this world and the next world, you keep getting more and more. And gvul avodah, there's no limit to the service of Hashem. Sharei, zeh, or ein sof. You're dealing with the never-ending light. So how much light you achieve, there always can be more light. But tamid avodah sodom likonis yosef yosefin. Constantly, we have to constantly work to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Liskadei mod nakud avodah nakud, go further one point, the next point. Actually, get in the nakud panimis ha'ibiyos until you reach the a greater point. She had dveikus hashleimus pain. So you get to total cleaving to the never-ending light, and then even then, it's going to go further. Okay, so that was his long explanation on that clause, and now he goes, says the next four words of the Mesil Shasharim. V'im tamik od ba'inyan, and if you look deeper into this concept of this idea of this tveikus and how you can get to this tveikus. So he has what to say on that four words. He says, Adam tzarach tamid l'chap islamic od. A person always should look to search deeper. Zeh mahalach tlimi v'chaim. That is the inner way, path of life. Ha'ilam boni b'tzurish shal rom gova v'rom amuk. The world is built in a fashion of high levels, of high elevations and deep elevations. Yesh kova, there's a height, hein lamal, hein lamata, higher and lower. Kol dav yesh olmek, everything has a depth. Habriya benuvra tzur gazu shiamuka, the world is created in a way that it's got depth. Roved lifnim min roved, levels within levels. Oimek lifnim min oimek, depths within depths. Rein therefore, dav arishan adam tzurach liknos, la'atzmo tzuras chayim anikris, lahamik od. Lo mishana bema. The first thing a person has to acquire within himself, in his image of life, is my motto is always deeper, further depth. Always looking to go. It doesn't matter what it is. You always look at something and look at it deeper. Right? Because in other words, you're never happy where you're at. You're never happy with your appraisal of a situation, of anything in life. There's always a way to look at it in a deeper way. Because ultimately you want to be able to achieve deeper closeness to Hashem. So therefore, no matter any situation life presents itself, you're not satisfied, not in terms of you're not satisfied, but you're not just gonna say, okay, that's all I know about the situation, that's all I need to know. No, there's greater depth to this. Now obviously, you know, that's something that can be good or bad. Because you can be very, you have to be careful how you use this. You know, you could say, for example, the famous story of the Brisker Rav, when the person went to him on Erev Pesach and said, can you use milk for the four cups of wine? So he could have just said, no. But then he looked at the situation deeper and then turned around and gave the person money. And the students asked why, and he said, well, if they're asking me, can I use milk for the four cups of wine? Obviously he doesn't have any meat. So obviously that's a beautiful way of looking at things deeper. And then there's negative ways. People stick their nose into other people's business would be a way of looking deeper. That's not a positive way. So you got to be careful But certainly when you're talking, you have to train yourself to always, whatever you see, there must be a deeper way of looking at things. So you develop greater sensitivities. The more depth you can find, the more sensitive you'll be to any situation. And ultimately that will help you in Dveikus Hashem. Yes, Rafal?
So is that going deeper, is that going deeper to find Hashem's hand in it? Or is it
in anything. It's you should train yourself to always look deeper.
Because one of the phrases that's often used for people is don't overthink things. You know, like accept it what it is and
well, I think that means that they mean is referring to paralysis by analysis.
All right.
But no, you're thinking deeper in order to act upon it. In order to act upon it, not just to think and think and think and never do. It's okay, let me think the situation deeper. Now what am I going to do now that I see it deeper? Not what am I not going to do because I see it deeper. That's the point. In other words, okay, that's what the next paragraph says. He says, Madu Adam lo magil ein sof. Why does a person never reach the ein sof, the never-ending light? Because he looks at his life as an ending point. He looks at life as an ending point. He understands something, he says, and that's it. This is what it is, and that's what it is. There's nothing more to discuss in this issue. That's his understanding. So he's at the end. But if he always looks deeper into everything, then he knows he never has really attached himself to the end. He always attaches himself to the next thing after this. Then there's no end. And that is connecting to the never-ending light.
It's like the atom. We used to think that was the smallest particle, and now...
Yeah, you just keep going deeper. Keep going. This is a very deep idea he's saying over here. Person lives with the following fashion. Karasi hevanti bor hala. I read it, I understand it, it's clear, let's move on. B'milah Harris, in other words, what is he doing? He attaches himself to an understanding that there is an end to things. I think it should be a comma. Tamid mechapes od omek. If he's always looking for more, in other words, if he never stops, he never allows him to stop when he understands something, right? And he's always looking deeper. That's the tool to get to the never-ending light. Gumavatal samusuk sofesof. He has nullified the idea of a finish, of an ending point. Which you have to look at life. There's no such thing as any ending points in life. So, what's a good example of that? Whenever you finish a masechta, you always say, Hadenlach, we'll come back to it. Because what do you say? I finished this masechta, and I haven't begun to understand it. So I'll review it again, and again, and no matter how many times I'm going to learn it. Right? Now that's really why Hashem gave us the Torah. Same idea. You can learn Torah if you learn it properly. Every year you can go over the same parsha and you'll find new ideas every year. Because there's no end to the depths of Torah. There's no end. What do you mean? I did the parsha for the last 50 years. Why do I have to bother doing it again? Because there's no such thing as I've been there, done that. Been there, done that means, you know, and I, there's nothing more for me to experience in this. Baal Tshuva, I've done Pesach a few years already. It's a bore. There's nothing more to it, right? So then that's it. That's the end of Yiddishkeit. This is it. So then develops a tremendous stagnation. It's a tremendous boredom is what you have. I davened yesterday. What I got davened today? So what you davened yesterday? Today's a new day. Today you're a new person. There's greater depths to reach in davening. If a person will look at every tefillah that way and say, whatever I davened yesterday, that's great. Today is a new day. Today I'm going to get new depths in appreciating my closest Hashem. Right? That's a whole different attitude, because there is this great Yetzer Hara who just want to be finished with something. Let me finish. I want to finish it. There's nothing more to do with this. No, there's always another layer. There's always another layer to everything in life. That doesn't mean to say, it's a tricky idea over here because, you know, you still want to be Ezel Asher HaSameach B'Chalkal. Who is a rich person? He's happy with his portion. You know, because if you're not satisfied with what you have, how are you ever going to be happy? But on the other hand, saying, but you can achieve more. Yeah, but even spiritually, you know, there's a concept of Sameach B'Chalkal because a person can become depressed. Say, I'm not so smart, I'm not so smart, I'm not so smart.
But that's not spiritual. That's kohos.
No, no.
You should always be looking for more and more.
Yeah, but it's a tricky game. It's a tricky game. I'm looking for more. So does that? So you could slip and say, "Well, I'm not really happy with what I have." So you have to be careful. Say, "I'm happy that I achieved this, and I know I can achieve more." And that you're allowed to in spirituality, while in other areas, like you know, a house, money. So that's the problem. We try to find more depth in the materialism and the narishkeiten, and we're not looking for any more depth in where there really is lots of depth. That's the problem. So he says, Zeh avodah b'chlolos, lahamik od. That is our service of Hashem in general, which is always lahamik od, to always go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's it. Avakam medum racha lahamik b'inyan. He's saying, let's go deeper in the topic. Meaning to say, he says, let's go deeper in the topic we've been studying right now. Which is what? Gotta go back to what we're saying. You know, to this idea of trying to reach more for Dveikus, and he will reach this. Everything we've been talking about, he says, if you do, if you look deeper, you're gonna see it differently. And he explains the next words in Lutzado, Tira, you will see, if we look at this deeper, what we've been talking about, the world was created for man's use. Next page, Reish Lamed. Explanation. The whole world is created by Hashem for man to make use of it. We know that Arizal may create efforts to take pleasure in everything in this world. Based on Jerusalem Talmud that says, in the future, person is going to have to be an accounting to Hashem for everything he saw with his eyes and didn't eat. Because the world was created for the use of man. However, the brackets add a proper use of man. Right? Yerushalmi says what your eyes saw, not what your eyes didn't see. If you live in Toronto, you don't say, well, I really want to go to Alaska because the Rishalmi said I should see everything. No, you don't see Alaska. Right? If you happen to be in a store and a new fruit that you never saw before came in, so buy the new fruit because you're seeing it. In other words, you don't have to spend your whole life looking for things your eyes haven't found. If Hashem presented to you, then chaparayim. If there's an opportunity, knocks. To experience a new experience of Hashem's beautiful world, then you should, and it's not going to be at a great expense, then take advantage of it. Well, then I don't need it. No, you need to taste it. It's right in front of you. Go, it's Eino Roeh. It's what your eyes saw. Now what your eyes don't see. There's a lot of things your eyes don't see. Let me look around. I'll see some things I don't know about. So, no, that's not what it's about. It's only about things that you see. Okay, so now he goes into greater detail. Lutzado goes in greater detail. Now the person has to weigh this up very greatly. Everything's in a great balance. Because the person on the one hand can be drawn after this world, and that will distance himself from Hashem. And you know, he will be destroyed, and will destroy the world with him. He'll damage the world with him. But if he makes use of this world and he attaches himself to God and he uses the world only to the degree that it assists him in serving Hashem, whom he is elevated, and the world itself is elevated with him. So there's the catch 22. Hashem created the world for man's use, means you've got to use the land, the world. But that's a double-edged sword. You can be drawn after and get sucked into that world, or you can control that world. Now, here is where the main point, the root point of Avodas Hashem really boils down to. When a person is in Gan Eden, he has a soul without a body. So, Shem Avodasa Hibruchonis, then his work is spiritual. The holy books call this level serving Hashem with one soul. So everybody got Eden. Avodah Shem. That's the next world. We get to Gan Eden. That's work of the soul. Fine. But Kan, but here in this world, but here we have an neshama with a body. And neshama tovas, the soul demands spirituality and the body demands physicality. You can't tell a person, tisnazir minagash vizagami, separate yourself totally from the word nazir. Separate yourself totally from physicality. I'll talk, I'll teach, don't eat, don't drink. Zutos, that's a mistake. Hermedina, ha'odam chayv lozen lachzik eskuvo. Because by law, a person has to sustain himself. He has to eat, he has to make himself love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara al sanu b'tzura shechayom lishtamish b'tzarchei guf. Hashem created us in a way that we have to make use of our body. Hasheli rak, the only question is, eich ubeiz b'tzura. How and in what way do we take care of our body? V'yimizchalekas l'shnei chalokim. This gets divided into two portions. Eich ha'shela shel kamos. One is a question of quantity. How much should we make use of the world? That's a quantitative question. Sheila shel echus, and then it's a question of quality. But now, let's explain this. Those are the two questions you have to always ask yourself in terms of being engaged in using this physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu baro sanu v'tzura shechayom. I did that. Azeh sh'adam ishtamish v'tzarchei olam. That which a person makes use of the world. Hu davar mukhlu, that has to be. Even Moshe, besides the 40 days that he was on the mountain when he didn't eat and drink, still nispashi beguv, he still was a body. He was, and when he was separated from being a body. But Avol Bashar was on, but any time besides those 40 days, Gamu Achol Vashasov Sipi Hashar Shari Gufo, he ate and drank and took over his bodily needs every day of his life, except for 40 days. Anybody's got to make use of this world. You have to. Next page, Reish Lamed Alef. Now, you're in the balance. You got to really weigh the issues. Madua, why? Because you can't separate yourself from the physical world. If there was a concept that a person could live by being totally separated from physicality, maybe the big decision was the first decision. Should I make use of the world or not? If it was possible to live without being engaged in the physical world, then it really would be one big question. Should I be engaged in the physical world or not? But Reg Yashichlich, so once he decides no, who paris lamidbar, he goes to a desert, he separates himself from everything. Then his avodah is done. Job's done. I decided to be a monk in a monastery. I'm finished. My avodah is Hashem is all. But that's not the way it is. But the whole creation was built in the opposite way. Even if you live in the desert, you still got to eat in the desert. You got to drink, you got to sleep. But really, we're prohibited to live in the desert. Because there's many biblical mitzvahs you only can do in inhabited places. You must get married. You have to try to have kids. Now you have a wife and kids. Now you got to make a parnasa. There's physical and spiritual needs you have to take care of. If a guy wants to live separately and not get married, I'm not exactly sure what he's saying. He could try to test himself to stay away from it, whatever. But if you want to do the mitzvahs of Hashem, be fruitful, multiply. You're going to have a family. And now you enter the world of physicality in a greater way. If you don't want to get married, then you don't got to worry about these things. If you don't want to live Hashem, you know, yeah, I guess you could avoid the physical world. But if you want to do mitzvahs of Hashem, it forces you to be thrust right into the middle of the physical world. You've got to be in that physical world. Now you have to make great calculations. As long as you weren't married, the weighing wasn't that much. But now that you're married, but no, you don't have kids, it's much more complicated. Now you got to make so much more money, you need so much. The whole world is a different world. And tomorrow he will go into what this shikul is for a lot of pages. Maybe we'll get it all done tomorrow. What is it exactly? How do you have to analyze this physical world in terms of the quantity and quality of how much you have to use this world?